From Brevard, North Carolina, this is the Inspired Intentions podcast, where we believe everyone deserves the skills and mindset to live a healthy life. First off, we have a question from a listener that's going to leave you with some life-changing resources. In our second part of the show, we bring on co-executive director of Trails Carolina, Jeremy Whitworth, where he has the perspective that our mindset is the lens that you see yourself and your potential in the world and in your life. You're not going to want to miss this conversation. And then after our main segment, per the usual, we have a 5-minute focus. And today we're going to be talking about why your pride and not asking for help is getting in the way of your motivation. Up first, Alan with your listener Q&A.
All right, listeners, your Q&A today is a little special. We have a shout out that goes along with it. This shout out is to Leah, a Inspired Intentions listener who had a really awesome question for none other than you, Jeff. This question today is all about recommendations on books to read. So the question is, Jeff, I'm an avid reader and would love to hear 3 to 5 book recommendations that are the most life-changing books he's read. So Jeff looked through and he picked his top 3 books that he thinks every Inspired Intentions listener should give a read. Jeff, what do you got for us?
Yeah, love this question. Life-changing anything is what I'm all about. So the first book recommendation, most well-known book that you'll probably hear from this list is Atomic Habits by James Clear. The power of this book is that it's so practical to building new habits and then changing habits that aren't serving you. One thing I love from the book is James's quote that true behavior change is identity change. The only reason you'll stick to habits is that they become a part of your identity.
That's awesome. Number one. What's number two?
Number two on our list is The One Thing by Jay Papasan and Gary Keller. This book is all about why multitasking doesn't work, especially when it comes to change.
That's an easy two for sure. What do you got for number three, man?
Yeah, and finally, Living Forward by Michael Hyatt. I'm a huge fan of Michael Hyatt. He leads a podcast called Lead to Win, and he is a productivity expert. The concept of the drift that we weave into our conversation during our Inspired Intentions talk on campus stems from the learnings that I've received through the book, Living Forward.
That's awesome. That's a solid number three. I haven't read number three.
You haven't? Yeah. No. And that one's less known than the first two books.
Yeah, for sure.
I think any of these three books, if you were to start them today, listeners, you would literally be engrossed and you would not stop. They are those types of books that really can make a difference in your life.
Awesome. Well, thanks for answering that, Jeff. And Leah, shout out to you. Thank you for a really, really great question. Listeners, if you guys think that you have a question that would be right for the Inspired Intentions podcast, please send us an email at inspiredintentions@skyterrawellness.com. And I hope that you enjoy the rest of the show.
What's up, listeners? I am joined today with Alan Broyhill, co-host. Hey, what's up, Alan?
Hey, man, drinking coffee. As always, usual.
Yep. As usual. Mm. And this is a very exciting day because we have our first outside guest ever on the podcast, none other than Jeremy Whitworth. What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, good morning.
So happy to have you. We've been talking about this for forever. And just a quick rundown on Jeremy's background. He's got an extensive background that's going to speak into an incredible conversation today. He's got his BA in Wilderness Leadership and Experiential Education from none other than Brevard College.
Ooh, the Willy program.
Yeah, people actually go there. That's good to know.
Yeah. You look at the campus, you're like, are there actually students? But there's a lot, you know, yeah. You dive into it.
Just so listeners know, that college is very close to our campus.
Yeah.
He is also Trails Carolina Wilderness Therapy Program's co-executive director. And this is a wilderness therapy program for 10 to 17-year-old kids?
Students?
Adolescents.
We say students, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool. And one other fun fact about Mr. Whitworth is he placed top 150 in his age group. Is it okay to say your age, Jeremy?
Yeah, I don't mind. That's fine.
Yeah. In his age group, 35 to 39, worldwide for the CrossFit Open Games in 2019. That is a pretty epic achievement, just so our listeners know. And Jeremy, I mean, how'd I do on your bio?
Not bad. I think the part that I would add for the CrossFit piece is while also being a parent and a husband and a full-time plus job, and I kind of think if you're not all those things and doing something, maybe you're cheating a little bit. But
Oh, great point.
Calling some people out there.
No. So I'm pretty fortunate in that I majored in something that I'm professionally doing now, which is not always the case.
Right.
And when I found Brevard College, I honestly just got picked up after a backpacking trip halfway through college, and someone said, "Oh, I'm majoring in this," and I went, "Oh, that's where I'm supposed to be." So I transferred and got to Brevard, thankfully. And throughout all those things, I've had this kind of woven athletic history. And a lot of it has been in running, which is ironic because if you could see me, you would see that I'm not built to be a distance runner. I'm like 5'5", and at this point weigh like 170, which is not historically the build of a marathon runner. I'm not a Jeff Ford, if you will.
Yeah.
And so that's been an interesting comparison for me, or I guess a parallel of kind of my professional development and working in mental health and behavioral health and outdoors, and then also having this kind of athletic background. And I think what we'll talk about today, and you'll kind of introduce that topic of mindset, those things intersect for me in a really interesting way that I love talking about it.
Yeah.
That's cool. So what's your mindset on being the first ever non-guest, non-staff member on the Inspired Intentions podcast?
I think my question, which is not a mindset, is do I get a t-shirt or a bumper sticker for that? If we can play catch up.
You get to
some
sign
point.
The door. You didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's
first
fantastic.
Outside guest.
Yeah, I feel quite honored and privileged. I think Jeff and I have been talking about this probably for
at least two years.
At least a year. It was actually pre-COVID.
Oh, was it really?
I think so. So that's at least 2 years.
Yeah. And just so listeners know, Jeremy is my CrossFit coach. So he sees me at 6 a.m. in the morning, like at least once a week.
That's really
typically.
Yeah. That's my biggest resume marker is that occasionally I will correct Jeff Ford's deadlift form or something like that.
I love it. It's so great to be coached. And I think that leads us into probably getting going with our topic today.
Cool.
Which is all around mindset. So for our listeners who tune in every week, you know we like to talk about goals and habits, and we're about a quarter through the year at this point, a little bit over a quarter through the year, almost halfway through. And so it's a good time to revisit this conversation, especially with Jeremy, our guest, who knows a lot about how to achieve goals. And also, he's someone in his professional experience is really helping adolescents move forward. So when we think about his background, he's going to have a lot to add to this conversation, and that's why we brought Jeremy on. So let's kind of start simple, Jeremy. When you think of mindset, how would you define mindset?
The way that I talk about mindset is that it's the lens that you see yourself and your potential, and the thing I might add to that is kind of in the world or in your life. And so it's, I think we can... A lot of people typically put their view of things in three buckets. It's either positive, it's negative, or it's neutral. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, there aren't a lot of people that can really get their head around the neutral part. That's a pretty hard place to be. It's typically you're either in the negative or you're in the positive piece. And so that's a view of the world or a view of ourselves. But I think also the piece to me that's important when we talk about mindset is the word potential is what comes to mind, because I think there's this piece of capability that comes into play of what do I think I can do or not do? What do I have control over or not have control over?
Wow, I love that. When you think like, what do I have control over or not have control over? It's how you like look at what you actually can influence almost with potential in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, you're someone who has a super strong mindset. One thing that I've always admired about Jeremy is his cool, calm collectedness. And then Jeremy, you were doing this whole Murph workout thing, and it was like every morning. How long did you do that for? And we can describe the workout here in a second.
I've started doing that 2 or 3 years ago, and it's I typically do it every week of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Okay. Kind of as a counter, what is historically maybe considered a gluttonous time anyway. And so every morning for that week, I'll do a quarter Murph, and then the next day I do a half Murph, and then I do a three-quarter Murph, and then I do a full Murph, which nicely lands on Thanksgiving Day, and then I go back down the ladder, and the next day I do a three-quarter, a half, and finish that Sunday on a quarter Murph.
Yeah. What's your best time, full Murph?
Well, so I don't, when I do that week, that workout is designed to be done with a 20-pound vest on.
Yeah,
but because of that volume and the amount of pull-ups, that would, I think that would just rack my elbows. So I don't do it with a vest, just to say that clearly for anybody that's really true CrossFit fanatic.
Yeah.
But I typically, I'm probably in the mid 30s, I think, if I do it unpartitioned. That's a whole other range of classification. I can do it partitioned in sub 30, but mid to upper 30s is typically what I land on if I don't partition, no vest.
That's awesome, dude.
It's incredible. So listeners know, it's 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, and then 300 squats. And I bring that up where you split it up in any way. There's a mile at the beginning, and then there's a mile at the end.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, comes to this piece of mindset where when you push your body at that level, it's just one example that I had of why, you know, you're a great person to speak into this. So maybe going back to this mindset piece, we're hearing it's about looking at positive, negative, neutral. That's sometimes like the patterns that we see, and most folks are falling into either positive or negative a lot of the time. So maybe, Jeremy, tell our listeners a little bit more about like what gets in people's way when they're trying to build a strong mindset.
Well, I think the obstacle is that we so quickly give away what our power and control is, because we get focused on the things that we actually have no control over, and then we forget the fact that there are things that we do have control over, which essentially is ourself and the way that we view things.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. Meaning like our thoughts and how we're looking at things almost can control how we respond and our behaviors.
Well, even our ability to go, this is a negative thing that's happening to me, will oftentimes produce action or inaction because we've defined that as being a negative thing that's happening to me. And so and there's so many things you don't have any control over, right? Mm-hmm. And so to have a peace about that is really tough, because whether that's your kid who's having a hard time, whether that's a death in your family, whether that's your health and your schedule and that's hard to eat healthy or make it to the gym. Like there's all these things that we go, I don't have control over that. These things are happening to me. And that's part of your mindset, is the belief that these things are happening to me, as opposed to, I have a piece about the fact I don't have control over this stuff, but what do I have control over? And that, I think, is really the ability to ask yourself that question is kind of, in my mind, one of the first really critical steps of shifting somebody's mindset, is to be able to go, what do I have control over?
Wow. Yeah, I like that
That's
a lot.
That's powerful. Yeah.
So what you're saying is, when you feel like things are happening to you, you want to ask that question, what do I actually have control over?
Right. Exactly.
And that's taking that moment to pause.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It almost, you know, stems into, we have this acronym called the four P's, plan, prepare, pause, and then proceed. You know, if we don't think about the plan or how we need to prepare so that we can move through our lives in the way we want to, then it's hard to sometimes pause and maybe even ask ourselves that question.
Yeah,
for sure.
I wonder if you ever think about adding the word pivot in there, and you could have five P's, which is maybe becoming the most catchphrase word of the pandemic, to be fair. But
yeah, that's definitely one of the popular words right now.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I love this perspective, because that's why we are starting to bring on more outside guests, because you know, everybody's got a different angle and some golden nuggets when it comes to mindset and growth and achieving goals. So I think what is quite interesting about your background is it's very therapeutic. And you know, even though you're the co-executive director, maybe not working hands-on as much with the students in your program, I think obviously you moved up in kind of the positions in the company that you work at and have had a lot of experience kind of just recognizing mindset patterns, most likely in the students that you work with. So my question is, what mindsets do you see in 10 to 17 year olds?
Well, it's honestly not that different than the mindsets I see in adults. We're just catching it early and trying to help shift that sooner.
Pivot.
Probably pivot, if you will, if we want to really land that one. I mean, the biggest thing that we see with our kids is this common thread of anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
And there's lots of other stuff that comes into play of how that manifests, but those are probably the two biggest overarching themes with the type with the kids that I work with.
How would you say anxiety gets in the way of someone's mindset?
Well, I think there's an anxiety mindset. So it's in the way of in terms of shifting it to something that's more productive, perhaps. But I think when we think about like what is the mindset of somebody who is anxiety, it's somewhere around the idea of not trusting or believing in their capability to handle the obstacles that are ahead of them.
Yeah. So what you're saying is when we have anxiety kind of flooding our system and those feelings are overwhelming us, that it sometimes feels like the capability isn't there to move forward. Is that what you're saying?
Right. And there's a sense of self-trust to that too, right? Like one of the things that I'll talk to people about is if you're really anxious, it's typically because you don't know what's coming, or whatever you know is coming, you're not convinced that you know how to handle it. And so one of the little nuggets that I'll throw in is I'll go, okay, so let's take how old you are. Let's say you're 30 years old. Does anyone have a calculator? Can you pull a quick calculator for us?
Yeah, down? I'm more than totally happy to.
So let's say you're...
That's why we have an executive producer.
Let's actually say you're 40 years old. Let's land it a little bit higher. Multiply that by 365 days. What's the number that we have, Alan?
14,600.
Right. So you've managed to navigate the world for 14,600 days at this point. What are the odds that you can navigate today? Like they're probably pretty good, right? Like you've got a pretty decent track record. Not to say it wasn't hard or stressful or you didn't cry or have a moment or whatever it is, but that's a little nugget of a way to kind of give a perspective to somebody, but that's a really good track record. 14,000 days and you're still here and you're still figuring it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm almost hearing just like logical reframing when you use an example like that, where like, hey, just know that you've pushed through the hard stuff. You've gone through what 14,600 days already.
I think you can make it through at least one more.
One more. Yeah, right. And that's, I think you can also, that's a great point, Alan, where you break it down and you go, just focus on today. Right? Because if I think about the next 14,000 days, that's pretty overwhelming for all of us.
It almost can cause more anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's some mantra chant from, and I don't know what it comes from exactly. It may be a recovery piece or something, but the beginning phrase is for today only. For today only. And then you insert, I'm going to focus on this or focus on that. And then tomorrow you're going to wake up and say the same thing again. But for right now, let's just focus on today only.
That's super actionable. Thanks, Jeremy.
For sure.
Today only, I think that is definitely something our listeners can use. So.
Hi, everybody. Do you hear that sound? That bird in the podcast booth? It's the sound of the early bird getting the worm. And that early bird is your friendly reminder to plan ahead when booking your next Skyterra stay. On average, we are reserving up to 4 weeks in advance. We have so much happening on campus this spring and summer, our pickleball courts, our new outdoor living center, and at some point soon, our pool. We cannot wait to host you and show you all the ways we're continuing to grow and take flight. And we would be so disappointed if you missed out. So visit SkyterraWellness.com or call our reservations team to book your stay. And again, please make sure you're planning ahead. We cannot wait to welcome you back to our nest. Back to the show.
On the flip side, how does depression get in the way of a strong mindset?
Well, you know, it's probably not always the exact same sequence. I think oftentimes anxiety and depression are paired together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so the anxiety begins to create this sense of, I don't know that I can navigate or do this thing. I don't trust myself to do whatever comes next, which then takes away your sense of hope for a future, which I think is really kind of depression in a nutshell. There's more complexity than that, but in a really simplified fashion, depression essentially is the sense of it's whatever's next isn't worth it, or I can't do it, and everything begins to slow down.
Hopelessness.
Yeah. Sets in. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. And I think we talked a fair amount about that relationship between anxiety and depression just a few episodes back. So listeners, if you didn't have the chance to check that out, I think Jeremy's just adding to that conversation.
Yeah, we had three of our own mental health professionals on here, and they talked all about it.
Yeah.
Would you say that you know, this relationship with the age students that you work with, has that changed over a period of years, or have you think it's been pretty much always the same with anxiety and depression?
meaning how that's playing out for them today
for
and
sure.
What it looks like.
Would you say, like, when you started your career, was it were you seeing the same things in the students as what you see today?
Not exactly. I think school refusal has been something that's been continually on the rise, just in terms of kind of a manifestation of what anxiety and depression is playing out.
What do you mean by school refusal?
Like, they literally won't go to school, or they're really struggling in a school environment. So kids that are just isolating. I think screen addiction is something that's becoming a much more real thing.
That's what I was curious about.
You know, maybe 5 or 10 years ago, we threw that word around as if it was almost a little jokingly, and like, can we call it addiction? And I think we're getting to a point where we're going, yeah, we can call
just
it that.
We're seeing so much of it.
Wow.
They don't take their cell phones out on the trails, do they?
No, we don't do that. It's interesting because kids at that are so, and parents are really stressed about this too. You're going to take their technology away. They depend so much on their technology. And the kids, on one hand, are, you know, they have like the phantom ring or the phantom text kind of syndrome for a little bit.
Yeah.
But they're ultimately really relieved because there's so much pressure in that device that to take it away from them, I think there's a little bit of relaxation that happens to not have to worry about that thing in their back pocket all the time.
Yeah. Man, I see the same thing with our guests here. Yeah. Honestly, I get a handful.
Not dissimilar.
Yeah, I get a handful of guests every once in a while that are answering work emails, that are answering phone calls when we have a little service on the trail.
Yep.
And I always know those zones. And like, people will be hiking and they're literally like talking to their coworkers on the phone and everybody else is trying to relax. But it's like when I finally get them to separate a little bit, it's like a weight comes off.
Absolutely.
You can physically see it. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe leading back into our topic today, when you think about social media, I almost think it can get in the way of a strong mindset.
Well, yeah. I mean, because I think a lot about what's the input that you're taking in when we talk about mindset, you know, and that's about the people that surround you. That's about the TV show that you're watching, the music you're listening to. That's about the social media stuff you're consuming.
Yeah, for sure.
It's almost like in order to have a strong mindset, you have to be careful of what you let into your life.
Yeah.
Because the more we let in that isn't going to positively influence how we want to see the world, then we're going to run into trouble.
Yeah. I mean, it's totally parallel to like food, right? So that you guys, I'm sure, have various educations and talks about that. If I'm eating gas station food all the time, then like, how is that going to feel? And look, it's in social media. Some of it, I think, can actually be really great if you're picking the right things. And some of it is just gas station food, basically.
Yeah, 100%.
Great analogy.
Yeah,
we're gonna kick that to our director of nutrition.
Yeah. That's
I know her.
She might like that.
That anytime somebody asks me what's the first thing I can do to begin to get healthy, I'll talk about food journaling. I don't know if you guys do that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Probably so.
Yeah, just kind of an awareness journal. We typically encourage like a 3-day just look at how you're eating.
Yeah.
And it brings a lot of awareness to the individual.
Yeah. Well, then the second part I say is don't eat food that you can buy in a gas station. And that captures so much for so many people, really.
And I think we can almost add dietitian to your extensive resume here pretty soon, Jeremy.
Thanks.
So keep it moving, because we want to make sure that our listeners know how to cultivate kind of the mindset that's going to serve them at a high level. So when you think of if someone is struggling to secure a strong mindset, where can they start?
Yeah, there's a few little nuggets and tools that I kind of throw at that. I think the first one is posing the question of what's the story I'm telling myself? And I think that's such a powerful framework that we can use over and over again, is when something's happening and I'm feeling stressed or anxious or depressed or whatever, what's the story I'm telling myself about my role in this story? I think that can give us a lot of information. I think looking at what's the input, which we kind of just talked about, is what are the things that I'm taking in and how is that impacting me? And that can be music, that can be the people I spend my time with, that can be the social media stuff that I'm looking at. Because that's going to influence you. There's that old quote of you're continually becoming the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with, right? And I think that's true really just beyond us physically being in a room together. I think that, you know, you can kind of transcend that into other places. And then one of the other tools that I'll use with people sometimes is to talk about, okay, let's say you can't get your head around the fact that you need to be the hero of your own story, right? So if that's something where I just can't see myself doing it, I don't see enough value in myself, I don't see enough capability in myself, then that's when I start to talk about what are the behaviors of people that you might look up to? And you know, we could go down this probably a whole other podcast of like goal setting, but I really try to get people to focus on what are behavioral goals instead of outcome-based goals. Because we all can say,
yep,
you know, I want to look like this. I want to lose this many pounds. I want to run this fast or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But really, you can't actually control that to a point. The way that you begin to attempt to control that or approach that is really thinking about what are my behaviors. And so what I might do is go, okay, I see Jeff Ford. I admire him. I see he's got discipline. I see he has a lot of things going in his life that I really like. What do I think are the behaviors of Jeff Ford? So what are some behaviors of Jeff Ford?
Wakes up early. Goes to CrossFit.
Yeah.
Constantly reading.
Constantly.
Input, right?
Great teacher.
Anything else? Jeff, what are your takes? Do you have anything where you go, this is something that's really important to me that I've made the point to focus on?
So, as you can tell, I'm getting very uncomfortable because we're talking about me.
Which I kind of thought.
We're giving a compliment.
I kind of thought that would be a fun twist of the whole thing.
No,
I
love it. And I think this is not dissimilar from what we talk about when, you know, framing a vision and then focusing more on the behavioral goals that are going to take us to that vision. And so what you're saying is essentially looking at someone in your life that is in a place that you almost want to be and reflecting on what are they doing. And so, yes, waking up early. One thing that I would say listeners don't know is I'm very detail oriented on how my day is going to look. And just literally like writing it out from start to finish. Yeah. And I think that's what allows myself to reach a lot of goals is just kind of almost mentally going through how I want that day to go. Mm-hmm. And it's so surprising, like the power of writing things down, especially when executing like behaviors, whether it's just, you know, a meeting you're going to have or, you know, you do want to go to CrossFit or go on a run, like writing that down and having a place where you can create some accountability around it.
Yeah. Well, and so in that case, like what I might do is if I see Jeff Ford as somebody I look up to, not an idol, somebody I look up to, just to be clear, for your ego and everybody else's.
Well, and I think that's also important because you can't put people on a pedestal.
Right, because they're still people.
Yeah, it's still people.
Yeah.
And second, you're going to design different roads that would get you to a similar place potentially.
Yeah, right? But I can steal habits from you.
100%.
Right, so I can go, all right, well, I know Jeff gets up early. I know he does some kind of movement every day. And I know that he reads. So the behaviors that I can lean into, if I don't feel like I'm valuable or worth it, but I can lean on somebody else's because I think that you're valuable, is I can go, I'm going to get up every day early. I'm going to read 10 minutes in a book that is, you know, productive and useful in some way or supportive of what I'm trying to achieve. And I'm going to move. And move, you know, in this instance is all scalable, right? So I'm not necessarily going to go deadlift 400 pounds today because
like Jeff Ford
does,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
but I can go walk for 20 minutes that maybe eventually becomes something, you know, and that evolves. So I think that's a piece for people because oftentimes when you're in that headspace and that mindset of anxiety and depression or questioning your self-value, if you can just latch onto somebody else's pieces and basically replicate those, then it kind of helps create momentum. And I do strongly believe psychology follows physiology in the sense of like movement, looking up instead of looking down. Like one of the things I'll tell my managers is like, if you have to do a hard phone call that you're nervous about, stand up and have a strong posture. And it's a silly thing. And they're in their offices with this posture that, you know, nobody's around looking, but it changes the tone of their voice. It changes the way they feel about the things that they're saying. And I think that can be really important for people when they feel kind of stuck.
Wow. Yeah. So almost like kinesthetically being aware of how you're going to approach the situation can bring a different presence to it.
Yeah, that's cool.
And what I really hear you saying, Jeremy, is you know, to build a stronger mindset, it's almost making sure that you frame up your goals in the right way. So if you're only going to focus on the outcomes, which is, say, weight loss, a better relationship with stress, improving a relationship with a family member, versus thinking about the actions, the behavioral-based steps that are going to get me there, then it doesn't lead to almost building what you're saying about self-esteem and self-worth. And that's what I'm really hearing from kind of your breakdown in Jeff Ford example.
Yeah. Well, I think too, and I think maybe this is important to say, because you mentioned relationships with people, and we talked about things like reading and that kind of stuff. But I also think you can look at that stuff and go, okay, what does a healthy relationship look like? Do people scream at each other when not in a healthy relationship? Probably not. Right?
I hope not.
Probably not. So there, you know, I think it's also, that's expandable in terms of the things that you can kind of replicate or those behaviors to be mindful that it's not just something as concrete as like picking up a certain amount of weight every day or whatever it is. You can also look at relationships and things that have a lot of significance and what are the healthy patterns of that and how can I replicate that.
This can go further than just you know, lifestyle, nutrition, fitness type
yeah,
goals
exactly.
that can go into all of your life accounts.
Yeah. And they'll all intersect eventually, but I think, you know,
that's the coolest part.
Yeah, for sure.
Nice. So, how does someone's life change when they build a new mindset? So say I'm a listener out there, I am setting some behavioral-based goals. I'm starting to kind of understand this positive, neutral, negative
yeah.
speak that comes up in my head. What starts to become different when someone does change and build this strong mindset?
Well, I think a few things start to shift. One is you just generally have an awareness of what's going on as a feeling like you're just stuck in this emotional whirlwind or that life is just happening at you and to you all the time. Mm. And then two, the other part that begins to come into play is you begin to understand you actually have a whole lot of power and control.
Yeah.
And you find some level of peace and acceptance in that. Where it's you're learning to control yourself and you have typically, I think, a higher propensity for emotional regulation in those situations because you go like, what is the story I'm telling myself? What is my role in my story? The world and life is not just happening to me. Like it can be happening for me or I can look at the situation and determine what my power is in each of those situations. And I think that's a huge mental shift for people to be able to begin to take some power and agency over their lives in that way.
So it's almost like people learn to respond in the way that they want to, or they react in the way that they want to once they develop this power you're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a really good point. A lot of people are responding and they don't realize that is like a pre-programmed habit that they've fallen into.
A
and
common
that they could,
reaction. For
yeah.
them.
They just go, this happens. And then I do that. I see red, I get loud, I walk away, I get quiet, like whatever those things are. Mm-hmm. And so then you begin to go, oh, I've kind of got a menu to choose from now when you begin to gain that agency. And I go, okay, how do I want to respond to this?
Yeah, there's almost more tools in the shed once we've made this shift.
Yeah, and one of the things a word that I think is important, and it gets a little bit about semantics, but is a capable mindset. You know, I think if there's a lot of different versions of the mindset discussion. I think Carol Dweck, that book, talks about
growth versus fixed,
right? I think about capability. Like, what am I capable of? And am I capable of managing this thing or managing myself within it? And that word to me has always resonated a lot. And that's something that I come back to a lot.
Yeah. And I appreciate you sharing that perspective because we haven't, you know, used that word.
No,
when it comes to goal setting. And I think it's really interesting that, you know, the purpose of plugging new routines into your life and building habits is almost so that you develop a capable mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things that I talk with my team a lot about is everything is figure outable. And so, you know, we work in wilderness. I've got kids in five or six different locations across three counties at any given point in time. And so we just live in this world of various curveballs. You know, we can control some of it to a point, but there's this percentage that in my world in wilderness therapy that will never really systematize all of it because it's just the nature of kids in crisis.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, the common thing is like, well, everything's figure outable because what are the chances something's going to happen today that I haven't seen before? Well, it's pretty good. If I have, you know, like if I've got 60 to 80 kids in a program who are having, you know, crisis and challenge in life, and then I've got staff supporting them that have their own pieces, like there's a pretty good chance things are going to happen that I haven't seen before or variations of, but everything's figure outable, you know?
Well, that's such a great parallel to life because I think I would say every day, you know, there's something unexpected that comes up.
Yeah.
There's this famous Mark Manson quote out there. Mm-hmm. Every problem just leads you to the next problem.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just downgrade your problems or you upgrade your problems. Nice. So, man, this has been really great. I mean, there's a lot of mic drop moments within this episode.
Yeah, for sure. I've enjoyed just kind of sitting back and listening to this one. It's been awesome.
Yeah. So I think just to bring everything together,
yeah.
What do you want the audience to remember?
Well, I think one, that question, what is the story I'm telling myself?
Yeah.
That's a really good place to come back to because it's, regardless of what the answer is, the ability to ask yourself that question, I think, is a really, really important jumping off point. And so once you begin to answer that, I think you also begin to have the ability to change that story. So you can go, okay, what's the story I want to be telling myself about my view of myself and my capability in my life and in the situation, which then gives you this ability to start to make changes. There's a lot of other nuggets throughout this thing that we could go back to in terms of like the, you know, stealing habits from Jeff Ford pieces that you can kind of translate across other things and, yeah, and other stuff. But I think those are really the two, if we have to narrow it down, two big pieces. What's the story I'm telling myself? What's the story I want to be telling myself?
It's a really great way to simplify it, for sure. Two big main points.
Yeah. Well said.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, thanks, Jeremy. I mean, this has been incredible time together. I think there's going to be a lot of powerful takeaways for everyone who tuned in this week.
Yeah, there's awesome. A lot of value in this past, you know, like 30 minutes for sure. So seriously appreciate you coming on here. I'm probably going to have you back just so we can make Jeff super uncomfortable.
Oh, please. Again. Please, I'd love to.
I wish you guys could have seen Jeff's
face. I know.
Face.
I wish we had the video. I was like, oh, not sure what to do here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we compliment Jeff some more right quick and just make
just to make it more uncomfortable for him?
Well, I'm excited to listen to this one back. I think this is not only going to make a difference in folks' ability to reach their goals, but to develop a mindset where they can almost look at how they set their goals and design their visions differently.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Right on.
Cool. Well, keep being cool, calm, and collected. And
thanks.
Next time you do Murph, just let Alan and I know.
Just give you guys a shout. Yeah. I'd love to have you.
Oh, well, out there. Yeah. I hadn't done it in like a year. It's about time.
Well, I'll see you the week of Thanksgiving this year then, and we'll just every day knock out a chunk of it.
What, I need to get a CrossFit membership now?
I'll sneak you in.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Jeremy back doesn't door. Even get paid to be a coach.
He just enjoys it that much, people.
Yeah.
No, that's true. The duty is.
It's fun.
Cool, guys. Well, stick around for a 5-minute focus.
Do you know what one of the hardest things to do in life is? So hard that every time you try to do it, you feel very uncomfortable. The super hard thing I am talking about today is asking for help. And since this is the last focus of our 8-part series on motivation, I only find it fitting to bring up that the final reason any single one of us can lose motivation is our pride. Just last night, I was talking to Lindsay Ford, Director of Nutrition, my wife, and she explained to me that sometimes I can be a martyr. Our executive producer is nodding his head. A martyr is defined as a person who sacrifices something of great value, and especially life itself, for the sake of principle. Now, I think it's fair to say that any one of us has martyrism in one area of our lives. It feels to me like it's an easy default mechanism to take on X, Y, or Z all on your own. The issue with being a martyr is when you need help, but you're afraid to ask for it. You fall into thinking that your struggle in a certain life account, family, fitness, fun, financial, or faith, the 5 F's, is your fault, and only you can solve it. In a prideful way, you then exhibit a lack of motivation because you would like to say that you completed the goal or made the change all by yourself. Now, here's where I really want you to listen. I'm almost speaking about this because it's advice for me as well. Listen to this. When we need help to complete a goal or make a change, our pride gets in the way. This leads to a loss of motivation to complete tasks. And it's because we feel as if we can't do them on our own. And this is all because we are afraid to ask for help. So, what do you do if you think your motivation is low because you are afraid to ask for help? Is it obvious? 3 steps. Reduce your fear, don't let pride get in your way, and find the person or people who can help you. 1, reduce your fear. The primary reason we don't ask for help is fear. We fear that we'll be turned down, laughed at, or thought of as less than. These fears are unfounded. Don't apologize for asking for help. Remind yourself that we all need help sometimes, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. When you ask for help, be concise with your communication and clear. 2, remove pride. Pride stems from fear of embarrassment or shame. If you're willing to laugh at yourself, admit that you don't know everything, you can avoid losing motivation because of this reason. Finally, 3, find the people. To make asking for help easier, sometimes you just need to find people who you can trust. People who have no strings attached to your success. People who do not judge. Here's what happens. When you remove the resistance in asking for help, life completely changes. You stop feeling like you're living life on an island. And motivation instantly rebounds. And I can't tell you enough from personal experience that the more I ask for help, the more motivated I become. I want the same for you. So here's the challenge. This week, ask someone in your life who you trust for help. Be clear, be concise, reduce the fear, and remove your pride. Epic time spent today here, listeners. This was so much fun. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. In the Q&A section, I hope my book recommendations do change your life. It's all thanks to the authors who wrote those books. And I can tell you, when you start reading and diving into all the content that is out there, you start to find little things from each and every resource. And as those little things blend together, it does lead to building new habits and switching up your routines. And what about our time spent with co-executive director of Trails, Jeremy Whitworth? I can't tell you how many mic drop moments I felt, and that continuum of positive, neutral, and negative was so powerful. The imagery that he used, we really hope that that serves in how you adapt your mindset to approach things differently. And finally, hopefully you're not upset that the motivation series is over. This would be one of those series that we think you can go back to when you start to lose motivation. The general reminder that you heard today is that it's okay to ask for help. We all need help at times, and that's why SkyTerra Wellness Retreat exists, so that you could come somewhere to reset. I want to give mad appreciation to our executive producer, Alan Broyhill. Listeners, you don't know this, but he literally fixed our headsets so we can now hear ourselves again within the podcast booth. Also, shout out to Rachel Colasino, Director of Marketing. We hope you love her free commercials in the middle of the show. And we hope you join us next week as we continue to cut through the clutter and noise that surrounds health and wellness. You deserve to feel better, and we hope that every single week this podcast serves you in taking more action at home. Look forward to having you join us next week with Kate Braestrup. This is going to be an off-the-charts conversation because Kate is a subject matter expert in grief and trauma. And if you're someone who's dealt with loss recently or experienced it in the past, I really believe that her perspective could be life-changing. Can't wait to be with you next week. And thanks for listening.